taxes. Can I get the check, please? There's a tinge of irritation, like this isn't the first time he's tried to get my attention, but he says it kindly, all the same. Of course. Wiping the sweat from my brow, I flash him an apologetic smile and hurry over. Sorry about that. He nods as I slip his ticket onto the table and collect his syrup-covered plate and empty juice glass. Let me know if you need change. The patron opens his wallet, and I head for the kitchen to discard the dirty dishes. Like most morning shifts at Bev's, I'm on autopilot. Today, however, I'm foggier than usual, probably because I barely slept last night looking after Maeve, and I didn't sleep a lick the night before that, wondering if Mitch and that temper of his might turn up again outside my house. It was only a matter of time before he went on another bender and trekked all the way to the trailer park to unleash his verbal wrath on me for all the neighbors to hear. I set the dirty plate and glass in the tub inside the kitchen for Felix to add to his dish duty. He doesn't even notice as he drums his index fingers against the lip of the sink, rocking out to whatever noise blares in his earbuds.
Working hard per usual,
I mutter. Pulling my vibrating phone from my back pocket, I pray it's not hospice calling with an emergency, but I am only slightly relieved when I see an emergency alert. Use caution on roads due to increased seismic activity. Stay indoors if possible. Yeah, right. It's only one of a dozen alerts I'll receive today, and I ignore it like I do every day. Do they really think people have the luxury of staying home and hunkering down for eternity? If I listened to every alert, I'd have been indoors since I was 5, never seeing the sun. Exhaling the heaviness I can't seem to shake these days, I escape the kitchen's heat. I could remind Bev that there must be labor laws about making us work in what will undoubtedly become sweltering conditions by noon, but I know she doesn't keep the air off because she's cheap. All we need is another rolling blackout. The entire diner would have to shut down, and neither of us can afford that. She has 3 kids to put through school, and I have Maeve to worry about. Resolved to deal with the heat, like most summer days, I tighten my ponytail higher atop my head to give my neck a breather. The door dings as I step back behind the counter. A woman shuffles inside and peers around the diner. She's one of a few homeless regulars. Bev spots her immediately and slips a patron's ticket onto his table with a thank you before addressing the woman. Her greasy blonde waves are pulled back, accentuating her gaunt face. I remember her, back when her cheeks were fuller and her jeans didn't hang off her body the way they do now. I know the shameful burn of hunger, how it erodes the pit of your stomach, and I empathize with the woman as much as I applaud her courage coming in here. Especially when half the jobs in Texas have withered away, just like spring has. I continue wiping down the counter from the morning rush. The butter packets are already melting in their dishes. It's only a matter of time until they resemble Bev's potato soup, so I stick them in the small refrigerator beneath the counter.
It's not just the coastal cities that should be concerned, though,
a man says on the television. I glance at Tom, another regular sitting in the middle booth, where he sips his 3rd cup of coffee for the morning. He sets the remote down on the edge of the table, his eyes fixed on the screen.
The increased seismic activity throughout the entire country is a glaring indicator that the time has finally come.
The interviewee continues matter-of-factly. He's yet another scientist sitting across from Marianne Clemens. She's been the biggest name in the news world this side of the Mississippi, at least as long as I've been alive. And, well, she looks it. But lately, Marianne has become the face of every investigative report having anything to do with Gertie the asteroid and the surmounting effects she's had on Earth since her debut.
Which, to be fair,
Marianne counters, tilting her head expectantly.
Many would say you've been claiming for years. In fact, while we've just marked Gertrude's 50-year anniversary, we've surpassed the nation's debt ceiling, not by billions, but by trillions of dollars because of decades of preparation.
I glance down at my crumb wiping and the coffee rings on the countertop.
Everything is theory until it happens, Miss.